With free will, man appears imperfect. This is Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination. With free will, man appears imperfect. Man appears imperfect every time he makes his choice away from his divine center. Every time he moves away from being the pure being that he is, being the magnificent center of truth that he is, being the divine that he is. And our free will is what gives us this opportunity to appear imperfect. Because actually we have no free will. Actually we always live our divine self. And we're like the prodigal son. We have the perfect home, the perfect father, the perfect relationship for ourselves, and we can live in that relationship if we want to. But if we want to go away from it, we may. But when we go away from it, we're going away from perfection. Now, the prodigal son knew he was going away from perfection. He knew he was going away from his father's care and his father's caringness and helpfulness to him, his father's taking care of him and all these things. But he chose to go because the grass looked greener on the other side of the fence. It looked like an exciting adventure. I'm sure it was an exciting adventure for him, one he'll surely remember all of his life. You run over a child and kill the child, and you remember that all your life. Great adventure, wasn't it? Yeah, really, really terrific. You see, we don't need adventures that we remember all of our life because they were not a continuation of our perfection. Now, all of you protest that you want to be perfect, that you want to live in your divine center, you want to be all that you are. And I say that you're all not telling the truth. If you really wanted to live from your divine center, if you really wanted to be perfect, then you would do everything I tell you to do without hesitation. Everything. You would respond to everything I tell you to do without hesitation. Now, that's if you're with a sharer, if you're with someone who cares about you and guides you to your finest and your best. Now, if you want to do the path yourself, that's okay too. But if you're going to do your path yourself, you better have a lot of integrity, better have a lot of personal realization of who you are, better have a lot of self-confidence, and you better have no feeling of being sorry for yourself, and you better not have any feeling of, I've got a right to do this. I've got a right to go out and drive as fast as I want. I've got a right to go out and do these things, you know. I got a right to go out and be crazy. And then you have that right. You do have the right. But you also get the repercussions that come from it. And you know that, and still you don't follow it. Now, if you go to school and you don't pay attention to what the teacher says, you might as well not go to school. I mean, you know, it's foolish to go to school and not pay attention to what the teacher says. Well, this is a school. And this is a school of perfection. This is a school of unconditional love. This is a school of purity and goodness. And so, I attempt to reflect to you where you are at various times by swearing at you, by using crude words, by talking to you in the same way you do, telling you to shut up, and things like that. And you don't recognize what I'm doing. You think I'm just not a very nice person. You think that I'm a very crude person. But stop and think. That's your reflection. If I were giving you only my reflection, which I attempt to do as often as I can, then you would only see purity, goodness, harmony, beauty. But if you ever look around the world and you see it needing help, you're not looking inside of yourself. Because if you're looking outwardly with what you are within, and you see the world needing help, you need help. If you look outwardly and you see all the world beautiful, but what if there's problems? That's because it's in you. Mm-hmm. Now stop saying anything different. It's because it's in you. You understand that? What you see is what you are. It's in you. And if you see anger and hatred, and if you see murder, if you see war, if you see anything that you'd call bad, it's in you. And it's in each of us like that. Now, what do you think the queen sees as she looks over her lands? She sees peace, harmony, goodness. She sees the people all doing things that are joyous and wonderful. If the queen has in her mind any little hang-up that someone is trying to have an intrigue against her, well, you can be sure they're having, but not because they're having an intrigue, but because she thinks they're having an intrigue. You say, well, you can't live in a Pollyanna stage where you see everything beautiful. Well, that's true. It does not appear to be as exciting when you live in a Pollyanna state where everything is beautiful. It doesn't seem to be so exciting. And that's your choice. That's your freedom of choice. And so I say to you, if you really are saying to yourself, you would like to live in paradise, then put on your paradise goggles. You see, Adam and Eve were in paradise for, hundreds and thousands of years. And then they ate of the tree of judgment, and they began looking around, and what is the first thing they judged? That they were naked, that they had no clothes on. And now, whoever told them they didn't have any clothes on when for thousands of years they had no clothes on and they thought nothing of it? For thousands of years their normal bodily functions were hanging out in a perfect normal way and they thought nothing of it. But the moment they start judging, hey, I'm different than you, we're different than each other, and so that's the judgment. It's not a bad judgment saying I'm better than you are, you're better than me, but it's just a judgment. We're different, you see? And so, with that judgment, you're no longer in paradise. You may be there, but you don't belong there. Because paradise has no judgment. And that's why they had to be cast out of paradise. That's why they had to leave perfection and go into the world of illusion or appearance, with their freedom of choice. Now, they had two sons, Cain and Abel, remember? Why was Cain a little jerk? Because that's the way they were. Adam and Eve were jerks. Why was Abel such a joyous, fantastic boy? Because they were joyous, fantastic people. Well, how can you be both? Quite easily. It all depends on what you want to do. Do you want to get on the roller coaster and ride and have a good time? Or you want to get it on there and ride and scare the liver out of you, What do you want? Do you want to get on there and say, wee? The people who ride in the roller coaster, they're not crazy. They just like the ride. And they say, wee. But a few of them, they're frightened or they pretend to be frightened. Why'd they get on there? They didn't have to get on that roller coaster. We don't have to go into unhappy circumstances in life. And if we ever go into an unhappy circumstance in life, what would we do? Would we be ourselves or would we be the circumstance? We could be ourselves and be untouched. We could be untouched by the roller coaster ride. Edith Mary, taking the trip down the Mississippi River, she was unconscious. She didn't even know she was in the canoe going down the Mississippi River. And so it didn't disturb her in the slightest. She didn't change her attitude about anything. When she woke up, she says, I would never do that. Well, you just did it. Well, you did it with my body, but not with my consciousness. You know? So, you see, this is quite important. With free will, man appears imperfect. And you appear imperfect with your free will because you, Ingeborg, for instance, there's not a day that goes by that Ingeborg doesn't say, oh, my aching bones. And she's going to have aching bones by the score. They're going to keep on growing. And there's not a day that Ingeborg doesn't go by when Ingeborg doesn't say, gee, I wish I had more food to eat. And so she doesn't get more food. She cuts herself off from having enough to make her feel very full. Is the food there? Is it ever always there? Are the cookies there? Are the cakes there? The fruits there? Everything's always there. And the rule in the house, if you want fruit during the day, go help yourself. You know? But I know who goes in the cookie jar during the day too. And I know who goes into other things during the day that they shouldn't go into, according to the rule. But that's okay. We pay our own penalty by who we are and what rules we violate. Does Sylvia ever sit down at the computer and say, oh, how do I do this? Instead of sitting down at the computer and says, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now don't you laugh. That's very serious. That's very serious. It's her job to know that she knows that she knows. It's not her job to sit there and say, I don't know. Ever. Ever. Because if you say, I don't know, you're compounding the don't knowing, you know. You don't want to empower that, do you? No. Well, then don't do it.
Yeah.
And when Ellen hears the telephone ring, she says, oh, her again, or it again, or whatever. And when she does that, she empowers an unhappy circumstance. And someone else might have empowered a happy circumstance and had that it say, I'm sending you a check for $10,000 for all the help you've given me over these years. But I know I appeared like I never appreciated it, but it has meant the world to me. And this is just the beginning of my sharing with you. And Ellen said, oh my God, did I misjudge that? You know. Mm-hmm. And you see, it's not because they're giving. Now, all she had to do is the lady on the other end of the phone say, your blessings have saved my life. You've really made me feel great. You've really made me feel life is worth living. And many times I was about to commit suicide when I called you. But because I talked to you, I gained a new strength in life, a new lease on life. Thank you very much. I never told you. I never told you how serious it was with me. But I told you I had a problem, and you gave me your love. Now, you see, you might never know that, which is none of your business. But if you do know it, you think to yourself, oh, my goodness, I will never deny a person who calls me again all of my love. Anytime anybody calls on the phone or talks to me or any place, I'm going to give them all of my unconditional love. Oh! All of my unconditional love. Wow. And that's a never-ending story, isn't it? Unconditional love. It has no beginning, has no end. It's just the flow. Now, we tell you this is a school, and that you're in a school 24 hours a day, and that you're with me so that I can jump on your back all the time, and that I can bend you around like a pretzel saying, shape up, shape up. You son of a bitch, stop it! And you say, why did you use such terrible language? Oh, you're judging me, huh? Wow, how wonderful that you are able to judge me. That you are able to judge. Do you know what a son of a bitch is? It is a dog. The dog of its mother. The bitch is the mother dog and the son of the mother dog, which is the most common thing. We have made it into a sad thing. And everyone is gay and happy. You say, oh, they're all homosexual? No, they're just having a good time. They may be homosexual too, which is lovely, but they're just having a good time. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But you see, right away we want to serve. God damn it. Well, why are you saying such terrible thing about God? Well, it's not terrible about God. I'm asking God to damn something, which is not a nice thing, but what is God going to do? What has God the capacity to do only? The see, only to bless.
See the good.
I'm sorry?
See the good.
No. God can't see anything.
No.
God doesn't see good and bad. Then God is judging.
No.
God is always blessing. God is always giving, right? But you see, there again, you get into the hang-up where you're not learning your lesson. Mm. You see, if you were taking the course of the University of Healing and doing it perfectly, you'd learn all these things, but maybe you learn it better than they did, I don't know. But it's a matter of practicing it. It's a matter of practicing it. Now, what is one of the big things that we teach in the University of Healing that is the hardest and most horrendous, most ugly thing that you could ever learn in your life? What is it? It is the most damning thing that could ever happen to
us. Be myself and have fun.
You're learning about the law of cause and effect.
Oh.
You're learning about the law of cause and effect. And any cause you put in motion, you're getting an effect, and it is your choice. It's your choice. A happy cause, a happy effect. A sad cause, a sad effect. It's your cause, your choice. Now, true, you're supposed to be yourself and have fun. But that's another story. At this point, the most damning thing in our life is being able to put causes in motion. If we couldn't put causes in motion, and let's say Dorothea here was the only one who could put causes in motion, and Dorothea was a very bad lady, well, what kind of causes would we have in motion? Bad causes. If Dorothea was a princess, an angel, if she were God, which she is, then what kind of causes would we have? Causes that are uplifting, beautiful, harmonious, marvelous. Everybody is perfect. The world is magnificent. It's a great place where we're living. Do you understand that?
Yep.
Now, when did we take the sign off of the front of the building that said school? Never. The sign is always there, isn't it? You can't see it, but that's what it is. This is a school. That's what we call it, the University of Healing. We call it the University of Healing. The University of Healing is the thing. The Church of God Unlimited came second, but the University of Healing. And what is it that we're teaching here? We are teaching to live according to our divine pattern. We're teaching people how to return to their original purity and integrity. And sometimes it does appear that nobody's listening. You return to your original purity and integrity, Ellen, whenever you think that Diego is a good guy. You are running away from your original purity and integrity every time you think Diego might have a problem. You're being mean and hateful to Diego because you're creating him having a problem, which he may or may not have. But as far as you're concerned, you create him
happy,
always in charge of his life and affairs, and always everything in divine order and happy. But you see, this is what we teach, and this is what it's up to you to put into motion. This is what it's up to you. And I am so amused when we have guests here and you go and tell them your problems, and then they come and tell me that you told them your problems, not because they want to talk about you, but because they say, what can we do to help them? As though I don't know what the problem is, you know what I mean? As though I don't know. And I say, well, for you, the most important thing is to keep your nose out of their business. Because that's them wiping their bottom. And it does not appeal to me. Does it appeal to you?
Yeah.
All right. Then get your nose out of their business. Put your nose in your own business. Pay attention to what you're doing. If they're having problems in wiping their bottom, maybe they should rinse it off for a while. You know? Mm. I mean, oh, Herb, you're so mundane. Yes, that's right. But that's just what it's all about. Keep your nose out of other people's business. They can figure it out themselves. What does a dog do when he is unable to make a movement? He drags his butt along the grass. And if he has a little poison in the poison sack there, he drags his butt along the grass and it pops out. I mean, it's impossible for him to do things the way we do it, but he puts a cause in motion and he brings about a result. You say, well, how about that? Well, this is how about that. Don't tell your problems to other people. Most of them don't give a damn, and the rest of them are damn glad of it. Just remember, don't do that. Always work on your problems with yourself or with me, and I don't judge you. And if you're having trouble, I'll work with you. And if you really want to, seriously work with it, you will leave me with a smile on your face. And you know it. I am here to help you every time. When different people call me on the telephone, they say, my God, I got to take the course. You've helped me so much. You've lifted me up. You've given me a new direction. You've given me some positive attitude. Do people say that to you when you counsel with them? Of course they do. Because you're keeping your nose out of their business, maybe. And if you do it all the time, then you really are a blessing to them. And this is what every one of us wants to be, is a blessing to our creation, not a curse. And we're a curse to our creation when we enter with them into their problems. And we're a blessing when if we be lifted up, all of our world, all the world be lifted up unto us. So these are things that are quite important. And these are things that I know you want to do, and I bless you in doing it. But I also see that if you want to play the other game, I don't even know you. If you want to play the game of being your divine self, oh, I know you very well. But if you want to play the game of being hurt, sorry for yourself, or in any way unhappy, I don't even know you, you know. And that's okay. That's okay. If you want me to know you playing your unhappy game, be careful. You've just lit some dynamite. Because I'm dynamite. If you want me to work with you on your happiness and on your goodness, I'm dynamite. Pow! It happens right now. And if you want to tell me your unhappiness and all of your hang-ups, pow, they just increased. They exacerbated in a wonderful, wonderful way, becoming bigger and stronger and more wonderful until all of a sudden the red cloak fits you of the devil. Yeah. Oh, the horns, they were there a long time ago. The horns came with you when you were born. And some of you said, what's that for? Piff, I don't need that. You threw them away. And others, you embellished them and you had fun with them. Okay, you're wonderful. Enjoy yourself. Life has just begun for you, if you want it to. I love you. I love you. I love you.